The Holy Word of God for our meditation today, recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 3, previously read. In the name of Jesus, who is the Lord of the church, dear fellow redeemed. Just for a minute, I want you to imagine that you just moved to Appleton and you're looking for a new church to join. So what are you going to look for in your new church? You want a church where people are friendly. They welcome you. The pastor recognizes that you're a guest. Or maybe you want a church that has something for your children, and a Christian day school would be even better. Or maybe you want a style of worship that you enjoy. Or you want a church that has an impact on the community. It's feeding the hungry and helping the poor. Or you want a preacher that's addressing topics that are on people's mind today. Or as long as they've got good parking and no steps to climb and comfortable seats and coffee and air conditioning, that's all you need in a church. Really, all these things are things that we could use to help evaluate a church to join. But I wonder if these are things that God uses to evaluate a church. These are things that we want. Is it what God wants? What does God want churches to be doing? Or to put it another way, if God had an agenda for his church, what would be number one on the list? Actually, in our text for today, the Apostle Paul answers that question. The Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy and really to all of us today when he writes, "In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word." That, my friends, is God's agenda for his church. Christians, preach the word. Why? Why do we need to preach God's word? Paul offers three answers. He says, first, consider the source of the word. Secondly, appreciate the power of the word. And finally, remember the purpose for the word. Here in our text, Paul tells us why we need to preach God's word. He speaks to Timothy. "The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Huh. Is Paul describing our world today? You think about how many people flock to churches or religious leaders or political or cultural leaders because they're saying what they want to hear. Whether it's the idea that, well, everybody's good, or God just wants you to be happy, or it doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. So often, human beings create religions. They create beliefs that are built on what they think and what they want. Whether it's the idea, well, everybody goes to a better place when they die, and you'll have to decide for yourself what is truth. It's all relative. Or our world came into being by chance over billions of years. Everywhere you turn, people are believing all kinds of different things. In fact, as someone once said, when people reject God and His Word, it's not that they suddenly believe in nothing. It's that they start believing in everything and anything. Karma, astrology, fate, science, all of which ends up leading them away from God. Or as Paul put it, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, it's against that backdrop of false beliefs and self-generated ideas that Paul offers an antidote. He offers advice to his son in the faith, Timothy, when he says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it." Early in his letter, Paul had referred to Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, who had undoubtedly spent time teaching Timothy the truths of God's word, even at a very early age. Paul reminds Timothy, "From infancy you have known the holy scriptures." Maybe you can relate. Maybe when you were a child, one of your favorite books was a picture Bible. Maybe your mother or grandmother or a relative told you the accounts of David and Goliath, and Noah and the ark, and Jesus feeding the 5,000. If that's what you were blessed by at a very young age, like Timothy, praise God. Praise God for what you have learned, and praise God for those you have learned it from. But now someone might say, "But does it really matter? I mean, the Bible, why is the Bible so important? I mean, why is the Bible any better than any other ancient book? How come the Bible's different than the Quran of the Muslim faith or the Vedas of Hinduism?" Well, Paul answers that here in our text. He says, first, consider the source of the word. How does Paul put it? All scripture is God-breathed. Theologians use the term verbal inspiration, the idea that God inspired, or he breathed into the apostles and prophets the very verbs, the very words that God wanted down on paper. Or to put it another way, it's not that the words of scripture started in the minds of humans, but rather started in the mind of God. Or as Peter once said, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That means that even though Paul had a different writing style than John did, Paul's Greek was much more difficult, and even though Isaiah used different words than Luke did, the fact is all the books they wrote all had the same author. They all had the same source. All scripture is God-breathed. If you think about it, isn't that why it's so important for us to share God's word? What our world needs is not what you think or I think. It's not what he wants or she wants. It's what God says. If we're going to have an impact on our world as God intends, if we're going to be the light in this dark world, then we got to be willing to say what God wants people to hear. Not with an attitude of arrogance and better than thou, but rather, as Paul says, with great patience, and careful instruction. Or again, be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, be prepared to share the word when it's convenient, when it's popular, and when it's not. Now, someone might ask, well, why would we do that? Why would we share the Bible with people who don't even believe the Bible? Well, that brings us to the second things we need to consider as we uncover God's agenda. We need to appreciate the power of the word. Doesn't Paul allude to that here in our text? He says to Timothy, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Scriptures, the holy words of God, have the power, have the ability to make people wise. Now, granted, there are a lot of books that can give you wisdom, earthly wisdom, books that tell you how to invest your money, how to fix your car, how to win friends and influence people. But there's only one book that can give you wisdom that results in eternal salvation. There's only one book that can create faith in the true God, and it's this one. Or to put it another way, the Bible doesn't just communicate the facts about Jesus, the Savior of the world. It also works in our hearts the ability to believe those facts, to say Jesus is my Savior from sin. How does Paul write to the Romans? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, specifically through the gospel, the good news of God's love for sinners. The good news that Jesus, as the perfect Lamb of sacrifice, has removed our sins. The good news that I didn't have to come to God. He came to me. He came for us. By his blood and righteousness, he's made us right with God. The Bible doesn't just give you what to believe. It gives you the ability to believe it. By the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word, God turns unbelievers into believers through his Word. You might say that's the second reason that this church needs to preach the Word, because we recognize the power that it has on human hearts and lives. And if you want proof of that, recognize that this weekend we're welcoming in 45 individuals who've had their hearts worked on by the Holy Spirit. People who have come to know what Jesus has done for them through the Word, and now they want to continue to hear that Word and be fed by it and share it with other people. Now, someone might raise the question, well, if that's true, I mean, if in a sense the Bible's already done its work and you've got this whole body of believers already here, then why do we need to keep preaching the Word? Three reasons. First, because preaching the Word has an audience that's much more than just the people who are here. Who knows who might hear what comes from my lips today or what comes from your lips this week? Could it be that there are people around you who are still wondering, how does God feel about me, really? What has Jesus done for me lately? How does the Word apply to my life? all around us, there are people who are still questioning, doubting, who are still spiritually lost. And so both publicly and privately, we need to share a message trusting that this message has the power to make people wise for salvation. Secondly, we preach the word to believers because we recognize that even faith for a believer is still fragile. Satan is busy beating on our faith, trying to stamp it out. And so we need to hear God's promises. So we've got something to cling to when things don't make sense in our lives. And when it seems like the world is crashing around us, we can cling to those promises that build up our faith again and again. And number three, even though the ultimate purpose of the word, the number one purpose is to work faith in Jesus Christ in our hearts, that's not the only purpose for preaching the word. Paul talks about remembering all the purposes for the word. In fact, he talks about it here in our text. Just break this down. What does Paul say? He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for, first, teaching. You think about how many things we can learn about by studying the scriptures. I mean, where did I come from? How did this world begin? What's the point of marriage? What good is a government? What happens when a person dies? God's word not only prepares us for life on the other side of the grave, it allows us to enjoy and understand life on this side of the grave too. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking. God's word, and it's specifically God's moral law, sets a standard, an absolute truth against which we can judge human behavior and human beliefs. And when they don't jive with what God says, then God's word rebukes it and says, that's wrong. The Bible is useful for rebuking. But it doesn't just say what's wrong. The Bible also points out what's right. It's useful for correcting, putting people on the right path. And it's useful for training in righteousness. The idea there is that the scriptures, both law and gospel, not only tell us what to do, but it gives us the power, the motivation to do it. To what end? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, in the pages of God's holy, inspired, inerrant word, God gives us everything we need. All the tools we need to be able to carry out the good works that God has already established for us to do, regardless of our station in life. If you think about it, what greater calling could a church body have? What greater calling could Mount Olive have? What greater calling could you and I as Christians have than to lay hold of the holy words of an almighty God? The words that have the power to work faith in human hearts and equip people for lives for time and in eternity. To cling to that word and then share it with the people who desperately need to hear it. That, my friends, is God's agenda uncovered. Christians, preach the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.
Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Hey, thank you. you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.